listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
...2014 Cleveland Browns season. Tickets are on sale now. Secure the best seats at the best prices to cheer on your Cleveland Browns at the newly renovated First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Well, Jim Donovan from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network is here filling in for Nathan Zagura, but Nathan Zagura is going to be here too. Even though he is with his family on vacation, this working maniac that he is just never lets it go, and he is on the line with us right now, connected with us, and going to spend a little time on the show. Nathan, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Vic. Good to talk with you. Jim, good to talk with you as well.
Good to talk to you, Nathan.
Was down here in Florida with the family, and it was nice last couple of days, say, a little bit rainy, and, you know, what better to do on a rainy day than talk a little Cleveland Browns football.
All right, so they signed Paul McQuiston today, Nathan, and I guess you and I, when we talked about this last week, had a feeling this was more than possible because he was in the building and their track record had been pretty strong. So now that they have him aboard, how do you see the fit?
You know, I see him right now. I'm going to pencil him in probably as the right guard for the Cleveland Browns next year. Obviously, it's still a position you and I think they'll address in the draft, but he gives the versatility to play guard or tackle, provides that kind of swing back up in depth, and if he needs to start, I think that's okay. And I know a lot of people look at Pro Football Focus, and I'm one of them, and he had a very bad grade last year. But if you isolate his guard play grade, it wasn't that bad, and it was actually pretty much neutral. And if you go down and really get into the numbers, because people said, well, is this a big upgrade? Well, compared to Sean LaValle and O'Neal Cousins, it's a massive upgrade. Those guys were giving up quarterback sacks, quarterback hits, and quarterback hurries and pressures really at the amongst the highest level in the entire league. McQuiston last year, comparatively, let's say, they gave up a quarterback hurry on about 4% of their snaps last year. McQuiston under 1%. He played for Seattle, another guy who could come in and bring kind of that mentality of, listen, this is what it takes to win to this Browns team, so I like it. Is this a game changer? No, but these are, again, small, smart, cost-effective moves by the front office to help fill some holes, provide some leadership, and provide a little bit of a winning mentality to this team.
So, Nathan, if they address it in the draft, how early should they address it in the draft on the offensive line?
You know, it just kind of depends how things break down. I think if you could get, say, at 35, maybe a Cifulo from UCLA, obviously we have to consider that. Maybe a David Yankee at that point. But I think when you look at the guards in this draft, there's a lot of depth that can come in that third round area for the Browns, where I think you could reasonably expect to get a guy that will come in and compete and push McQuiston, push Greco, and want to start right away.
Nathan Zagura. Of course, this is the show that he co-hosts with yours truly, Vic Carucci, here regularly, but he is on the line with us from vacation, but checking in on the Browns' activity. And, Nathan, as we see, of course, the moves that still need to be made, we feel corner remains a priority, but I think more and more this looks like, and even though Ray Farmer was telling reporters today in Orlando at the owners' meetings that, hey, free agency isn't like a week-long or even a two-week-long event. It's months-long, and that they could still address other positions. He didn't specifically speak to corner, but I tend to look at the marketplace right now, and either they're going to get, you know, I don't even know if we could say a bargain, anybody that they truly need to or want to pull in from there, or if this is basically something you're going to get out of the draft.
Yeah, I think you and I both agree in our mock drafts, which are available now at ClevelandBrowns.com, that we think a corner is likely to be amongst the first three picks in this draft for the Browns, with three in the first 35. And I think that's the way to go. You know, I have Kyle Fuller. You have Bradley Roby. There are some good corners that can be out there. I wouldn't be surprised even if they took two corners, because I think when you get into the middle rounds of this draft, you're going to see some other corners that are pretty darn good here. Guys like Stanley Jean-Baptiste from Nebraska, Keith McGill from Utah, if you're looking for that bigger corner, Pierre Desir from Lindenwood up. So there are corners. It's a deep corner draft. I think you could see as many as 6 to 7 of these guys go in the first two rounds, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns jump in there. I think when we went through, we both agreed a quarterback, a receiver, a corner, and a guard were going somewhere in the first four or five picks that the Browns will make, which keeps you in the first three rounds of this draft.
Well, here's the thing. It became very apparent last year as the year went along that they just did not have enough corners. And it was a problem for them, and it became a real difficult factor for them because they were just so easy to throw on whatever side Joe Hayden wasn't on. And it became, you know, just like the running game where, you know, they could not compete at that position. I mean, it was a wipeout, I think, on one side of the field with them. You know, screen is better suited, I think, to be playing inside than outside, and I think they would love to get him there. But I think that you're right. I think, you know, you just have to get corners in numbers, I think, because as the year goes on, you really get worn out when you just do not have those corners that can shut people down and get off the field.
It is a passing league, and I think a lot of the issues you talked about there are one of the reasons the Browns had the second worst third down conversion rate allowed in the entire NFL last year. And I think two corners is fine. You probably need at least four very good corners, maybe even five in the NFL today, because teams run so many multiple receiver sets. You need corners to be versatile, be able to cover inside and out. So, we still don't know what we have in Leon McFadden yet. Maybe Coach Pettine, they can get him turned around and get him to be an integral part of this team. But so far, the jury is very much still out on whether or not he can be a contributor. And right now, he's the third corner. So, it is a position that needs to be addressed. And I would be surprised to see one, if not two, guys go there, especially early. Now, the one thing that also hurt the Browns last year was the coverage at the linebacking position with Craig Robertson, DeQuell Jackson. We got a massive upgrade there in Carlos Dansby, who was one of the top-rated cover linebackers in the NFL last season.
You know, Vic, the McFadden situation, when he got thrown in there, because, you know, he had to go in there at that point late in the year last year, I mean, you didn't have to watch game film all week long to know where people were going to go. They just identified where he was, and they went after him. You know, and he gave cushion, and when he tried, you know, and he got beat on those. Mm-hmm. And when he didn't give cushion, then he got beat longer over the top of his head on those. So, I mean, you know, you talk about a rough baptism under fire. I mean, that was a raging inferno when he went in there. And, of course, people stay away from Hayden so much that you just knew where they were going to go. So, I mean, I think it's really imperative that they make a decision on him.
Right.
Because that's a third-round pick.
And as Nathan
and then get other people in here.
As Nathan was saying, and this is such a great point, that this team should go into this draft looking potentially to get two more players out of this. And I think the fact that they missed badly on McFadden. I know it's, quote, not over, or at least he gets a chance to maybe redeem himself in camp.
Doesn't give you a lot of confidence yet.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the confidence factor, definitely.
Don't you find guys that, and this kid really falls into this, and Mingo does too, all right? I'm going to make this blanket statement here. When a rookie who gets drafted comes into training camp and misses time, it used to be because of holdouts, but in McFadden's case last year, he had a groin or something that kept him off the field, and he hardly played until the last preseason game. Mingo, the same thing. He had that bruise, you know, bleeding situation internally. They never get that time back in their rookie year. That's the imperative time during those practices, you know, out here in the scorching sun where they get one-on-one coaching. When they lose that because of injury, they really never get it back. It's a game of catch-up that they don't win.
Right, because the learning curve is so steep in the NFL, especially at corner. And I think I remember we had Joe Hayden on, and he told Leon McFadden that he was doing everything so frenetically and quickly because he didn't have the knowledge yet. Mm-hmm. He needed to get the knowledge base so that he could slow down on the field and just play football. And I don't think that ever happened. And you saw him come in and really only play in four games. And in those four games, gave up almost 200 yards receiving and really was picked on, as you said. This is a critical offseason for him. This will be a very important offseason, a very important camp, because he's dealing now with a new set of coaches. He's going to have to learn a new defense, I would imagine, under Jim O'Neill than he learned under Ray Horton. And it's going to be important for him to take advantage of that blank slate, because the Browns hopefully don't have a complete whiff on their hands there. We know Jim O'Neill and company wanted to draft Barkevious Mingo, the great cupcake story. So hopefully they can get the best out of him, and I feel confident they will. But on the back end, right now, that's the issue.
Nathan, thank you so much, and enjoy Florida. I hope the weather is going to clear up for you guys.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll do what we can do, Notorious. You know, that's what it is.
All right.
Take care, Nathan.
Do what you can do. All right, brother. We'll talk soon.
You know, Vic, there's a great story about Joe Haden in his first year. I think he was a little late. Okay, I mean, I think he came into camp just a little bit late. Not much, but a couple of days late. And he fell behind.
Right.
Okay? And, and all of a sudden, he wasn't playing. And Eric Mangini then... And Mangini, you can say a lot of things about Eric, but he was a phenomenal secondary coach.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really cut his teeth in New England. You know, he helped. Remember when Troy Brown had to play cornerback for them one year when they won the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Well, Mangini was the guy that really taught him how to do that. Mangini then decided, I got to get this guy on the field and playing more. And it was during the Browns bye week, which was pretty significantly early that year.
Right.
And he went one-on-one with Joe Haden, brought him in here, and went one-on-one with him to get him ready. And then bang. Haden went out on the field and did what we have seen now, you know, him do so many times.
On a consistent basis,
remember, he had like three or four interceptions right away, and he became a great corner. But he lost time in training camp, and it was catch-up for him.
All right, we're going to hear what's going on down at the NFL owners' meetings today, which began in earnest today in Orlando, Florida. Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer will be up next here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Jim Donovan with you on this Football Monday, ESPN 850 WKNR.